Welcome everybody to day 7 of the podcast, and we are in our consecration season, 12 days of prayer and fasting. And as we are in this season, we're pressing into experiencing more of the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church community, whether in Bangkok, Thailand, Perth, Australia, San Francisco, or here in Melbourne. Whether you're a university student or a parent homeschooling your children, whether you're a project team leader in the banking sector, we are all, no matter where we are and what we're doing, looking at answering the question, how am I growing in an awareness of His presence? And on this podcast, each day, we're chatting with different people in our church community to hear the testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in an awareness of the presence of God. And joining me today, I have someone who I get to sit front row with to look like what that is in her life every day, and that is Pastor Sheree Rice. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. So good to be here.
So good to have you. So we're going to dive right in, and we're going to ask you a question that we've been asking everyone who's joined us on the podcast, and that is a little bit about where you first, I guess, experienced the manifest presence of God, because we know that there is the omnipresence of God, that God is always with us. His name is Emmanuel. But there are moments where I guess we get to experience His manifest presence. So maybe you can share with us the first time that you can remember encountering the manifest presence of God.
Yeah, look, I went to a meeting with my dad when I was about the age of 6, and it was to see a healing, an evangelist.
Wow.
And I came to that meeting basically having been a kid, struggled with asthma.
Yeah, wow.
My dad and my mom had asked me if that was something that I would like to go to.
Uh-huh,
and
wow.
I remember going, and it was in Dandenong Faith AOG back in the day. Sitting in the back top tier of the balcony section, this pastor had preached his heart out, and then it was a response to people if they wanted to come and receive from the Lord. And so I went to the altar after my dad turned to me and said, "Hey, would you like to go down?" And I was like, "Yes." My dad ushered me down, and I remember standing. I had no idea. I had no context for any of this. And I remember standing at the front waiting for the gentleman to pray for me. And as I stood there at the front, he came past and prayed for everybody. And I remember distinctly in that moment becoming so aware of the presence of God, being overwhelmed by His love, and this weightless, lightless feeling overwhelming me. And it was the first time that I was actually slain in the spirit, to be laid out in His presence.
That's six. That's so sweet.
It was amazing. And I remember laying on the floor, and I remember just laying there, and this warmth, this feeling, and not really knowing what to do, because no one ever is like, well, this is what happens. And this is what, you know, there's no explanation.
Dad had not prepared you for that.
Not at all. And I remember thinking, I'm on the ground. Now what?
Yeah, wow.
And I remember thinking, Do I open my eyes? Do I not open my eyes? And I remember sort of squinting my eye open a little bit and turning to my right and seeing a young boy that was there next to me. And he looked at me and I looked at him, and we kind of both looked away and squinted our eyes closed and just waited for that moment. But I remember getting up from that moment knowing that God was not just real through my own personal revelation of Him for salvation, but He was, His presence was real. And that was the first time I became aware of His presence, that overwhelming feeling. And you can't explain that or convince
it's
a
hard
kid
to
that's
articulate.
How to do,
like, yeah, like, that's true. As a child, you can't, it's either real or it's real.
Faith to receive. Like, I was just there to encounter Him.
Yeah, so
and
good.
As a result, it was a profound moment that changed my life. It put me in pursuit of Him.
Wow.
The awareness of Him and the everyday things.
Wow.
So, created a hunger.
I love how you say that, because I think when different people are explaining, like, where they've encountered the manifest presence of God and how they've encountered that, it's different. Like, each time people explain and share different aspects of the presence of God when they share their testimony. So I love that you say it was like a lightness, but it also sparked a hunger in you. For the more of God, for more of His presence.
Yeah.
So it also was like, I guess, an impartation or a ignition of something in your heart as well.
Do you know something funny?
Tell me.
I would go home and try lay on the floor to encounter God.
Oh, because you were like, I was down once.
I was
maybe
down on the ground, and that's where the Lord really touched me.
That.
And so, like, I would try and lay out on the floor. And just
childlike
to receive
faith
from Him. It was crazy.
Childlike faith.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
that's encouraging for parents too, I think. Sometimes you're like, oh, are they just responding to, you know, like emotion or whatever? It's like kids have real encounters. We've heard that time and time again on the podcast, and you will hear it time and time again in the next days to come too. All right. So that's what it looked like as a child, I guess. As you grow, because we're talking about cultivating an awareness of the presence of God in our life, it is a cultivation. It is a growing in, and there is a like you would cultivate a garden. There's a tending to and a seeking after God in those spaces. So, did you have I don't know other moments of breakthrough or revelation that helped you, I guess, experience more of the presence of God in your life?
Yeah, look, I think as I got into my teenage years, I had grown in a level of intimacy with the Lord because of the nature of isolation, spending a lot of time in and out of hospital on my own, created an isolation. It was just me and Jesus.
Because you had asthma as a kid. Yeah.
And so I listened to a lot of Don Francisco and a lot of worship albums and things like that that just cultivated this sense of intimacy with the Lord.
Beautiful.
And then it became something that I created a daily practice in.
Yeah.
And so from about the age of 13, 14, I started to lean into reading my Bible, spending time with the Lord, and being in my room at home and just worshiping Him. And it was funny because I was in probably the stage and season of life where you still had CD players and they were new, and you were going from cassette to
that was
to
a big
CDs.
Day.
Yeah, were big days. And I could put in my room on my stereo with mad speakers around the whole room, surround sound kind of experience, where I'd put on these worship albums that were Hosanna music back in the day, and oh, they were glorious moments. I'd put the CD player on in my room. I'd be in there worshiping the Lord, praying and seeking Him. Funnily enough, it was one of those moments that, you know, when your parents walk into the room and it's like, you know, you got your arms stretched high, you're worshiping the Lord. And then it was like, what do you want? What are you doing? What? And your arms come down and you're just like, nothing's going on in here. Why are you here? What do you want? You know, and that's the response.
It's such an intimate moment. I think that response of like, oh, God, like you feel like you've been like sprung.
Yeah.
Not that you've done anything wrong, but it's the intimacy that you worship the Lord with that I think in those moments, is like, whoa.
Yeah. And I think it was in those moments that I began to realize that the Lord was more personal. And it could be encountered on the daily, could be encountered in those moments of just complete surrender and abandonment to Him and His presence. And I remember, I can still remember and see it, the green, you know, the dark green Bible, New Living Translation Bible that I had, and just God speaking through it to me.
Yeah.
And I'd have these encounters with Him that were just wild and created such more of an appetite for Him.
Yeah.
And so I started then reading books on different authors of men and women of faith of the past that have gone before us. And I started leaning into some of those things. And it really created an appetite of, hey, God's done this before. He could do it again.
Yeah.
And I just want Him. I just want more of Him. And so, you know, this time of stage, I'm going to 16 and I'm reading these books on Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Coleman, Maria Etta Woodworth.
I think probably at 16 I was all reading like Dolly magazines. Just gonna.
Yeah, no, I wasn't allowed.
I love that you were like so on fire, like two different upbringings and here we are. But I think what you're saying, Sheree, is like a really important transition because sometimes, I mean, depending on different testimonies, like sometimes we've heard of like people who just encountered the presence of Lord randomly, like haven't really even known Him, like just had this crazy encounter with God in a circumstance and situation of their life where there's like, it's not in a corporate setting. But I do think for people who've grown up in church, a lot of the time we can't encounter the presence of God for the first time is in some kind church. Of like corporate gathering. Some kind of worship service, which is great. Like that we love the corporate gathering and we love corporate worship. It's such an important part of our life as followers of Jesus. Like you look in the book of Acts, like it's there from the very beginning of the birth of the church. But it is important that we that we're not just hanging out for the weekend or hanging out for the Sunday, like that we actually, I think, sell ourselves so short if we only experience the presence of God in the weekend corporate gathering. And so this transition between like, okay, God, I've tasted you here. Now, Holy Spirit, help me taste the presence of God at home, whatever that looks like. In your, like you're saying, as a teenager in your bedroom, or we've had other people who go on like drives in the car and just in their car is, I don't know why, it's just a holy space. Like, but that is a, I think that's an important transition. And as I heard from your testimony, like hunger is a really key factor,
yeah,
I guess, in that transition, yep, from one to the other.
Can I just say, those moments of worship and corporate, yep, expression,
yep,
actually helped shape and form, mm, how I got to know God in a deeper,
so good,
level.
Yes,
so I can remember that, the first moment I went into free worship,
wow,
as a teenager in church, and I can remember who I was sitting next to.
I've got
to,
so many good visuals right now.
And I can remember the moment where just like I sang a song. That wasn't
like a spontaneous worship.
Yeah,
like a spontaneous song.
Free worship.
Wow.
And it just burst, ooh, forth. And I can remember that freedom that came with it.
Yeah.
And I remember going home and thinking, I just don't need to stay stuck on a track.
Yeah, wow.
I can step into these moments of, yeah, free, wow, worship. And so they,
good,
help shape,
yeah,
and form,
and
the
learn,
encounters
we learn,
in corporate,
yeah,
take, uh-huh, into your home.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, it was like something, yeah, had set me free for the first time.
Wow.
It was amazing how that, wow, set me up for the home life,
wow,
of worship.
Wow.
Not just to the song that I know in the car or the song, yeah, that I knew on my CD, that's player, awesome, but the song of my heart of worship to Him. Like that.
Yeah.
Wrecked me.
Ooh. I love that. I love that. It's so true. It's so true. It's a great place of like teaching and, or even sometimes like just doing, being in community, like someone else telling a testimony of like, I can't encounter God like this. Like I remember the first couple of years that I committed to a church family and had another girl who'd come at the same time. And I used to pick her up and drive her home because she didn't have a car. And we would sit in the car outside her house for hours. Like the people inside her home that she was like house sharing with must have been like, why do they sit in the car for like hours? Yeah. We just were talking about like everything that we'd experienced in God, like, yeah, in the service. And it was like, oh my gosh, you experienced this. Oh, I'm hungry for that. Oh my gosh. Like, and it was this feeling on of like to take into our week,
yeah,
of like, okay, come, well, on, Jesus, like my friends experienced you. Like, I want that. Like, I want to experience you like that. It was just a hunger that was built from a corporate gathering. Not that the corporate gathering was like the start and the finish of those, yeah, things, but actually a place of learning, yeah, and fueling,
yeah,
the more in all the, yeah, other areas of our Monday to Saturday. Okay, so fun fact is we've been housemates for a little while.
Yep.
So I get a bit of a front row seat, I think, to like, I guess, your life that is not on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, you are still a worshiper, just like you were at 16 years old. That is very true of your life. And in a life like yours that is very full, you have a lot of hats that you wear and you have a lot of things that fill your life. Just like I think a lot of people who are listening, like we live full lives in this, yeah, day and age. So it can be really easy as well. Like you've been in ministry for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very easy just to think like, okay, I'm doing the ministry things. Like I'm coming to a church to work in inverted commas. It can be really easy to think that like, you know, oh, I'm always in the presence of God because like, this is what I do. But we both know that that's not the fact. We know that it requires cultivation. So in a full life like the one you live, Sheree, what does cultivating an awareness of the presence of God look like in the everyday components of your life, in, yeah, the gym that you go, like, you, yeah, know, the gym, yeah, that you go to, yeah, in, when you're walking the dog and just in the every part, the everyday parts of our lives, yeah, that are all worship to Him. But what does it look like to cultivate an awareness of the presence of God in, yeah, those spaces?
It's a really good question because I'll start with a preference here, like,
sure,
preface. I am in a Christian workplace.
Yeah.
So
as an evangelist,
no one
we're praying for you in that space.
Yeah. There's no one to save.
Yeah.
You hope they're all saved. but there's no one to save in that space. And so you need to have communities outside of your workplace to be able to do that. Now, most,
yeah,
of us go to a workplace that,
yes,
you know,
is
not Christian. Mm-hmm. It's secular.
Yep.
And so we have a sphere of influence.
Yeah.
I find that a little more challenging and perplexing at sometimes in seasons in my life. But I have a gym community I like to reach out to. I share,
yeah,
Jesus with.
Yes.
I have a dog, and you have a dog, and so
we
share
dogs.
The walking component of our dogs.
We meet a lot of our neighbors.
Even this morning, out just walking the dog. And this lady, new to our apartment, 8 weeks there, has two dogs. Our dogs weren't so friendly to start with, but warmed up, and it became just an incredible opportunity and a privilege to connect with her and talk with her. And
we have an apartment building full of people who need to know Jesus.
It's wild. So it's exciting because there's so many. But got to meet her, connect with her, and I'm looking forward to connecting with her more. She's looking for community. But just the privilege for those moments. I'm like, I don't care if I'm late to church. This is what I've got to do. And this is what I'm engaging in. And so there's opportunities like that. But I think one of the things I've become more aware of is the desire to live on mission. I am not the mission department of the church. I'm trying to breed a culture that says we're on mission. Our lifestyle is mission.
Totally.
And so we don't have a mission department or a evangelism department. We have a congregation who love Jesus and therefore are on mission. And so I lean into this space of, okay, Lord, help me to be aware of your presence today. Not just in my work and in my function, but in my everyday. When I'm going to the supermarket, when I'm going to the hairdresser, when I'm going to the petrol station. Lord, help me to be aware of what you're doing across the earth already. Help me to partner with what you're doing. Speak to me about what you want me to engage with. And give me grace in that space.
Because the presence of God, like you're saying, the missional component, it's like we don't, like Jesus only did what the Father did. He didn't invent his own things. He was just doing what the Father was doing. And so our job, like Jesus, is to just do what he's already doing, like what the Father's already doing. So an awareness of the manifest presence of God in a missional lifestyle is essential. Is essential. So, okay. So what does that look like for you? Like how have you, because I've seen you in places where like, I'm like, you're in the gym lobby and you're about to walk into a HIIT class session and I'm like, you're literally late and I can see you talking to someone like in the floor and I'm thinking, girl, you're going to miss this class. Like, get in here. And I can, as I get over that and have a look a bit closer, I'm like, oh, I can see that the Lord is at work in that space. So I've seen you like in the everyday parts of life just all of a sudden like, stop and redirect, like, and leave everything else for a minute and just follow the footsteps of the Lord in that moment. So how do you become, I guess, how have you cultivated that of just being becoming aware of like, oh, hang on a second, like with my barista or with my trainer in the gym, there's something more in this conversation. Like I need to just stop my agenda or what I'm doing and start to follow his footsteps. How have you been aware of the presence of God that's like in that moment?
Well, I think firstly starts with the urgency of God's love for us, his pursuit, his chase of us. He's always hunting people down. He wants,
his love is reckless,
to know them. He wants them to know him. And so I think personally, I've always grown with an awareness. It's my salvation experience brought a great awareness. Of Jesus's love for people and for them to know him. And so I've constantly cultivated that in my life. But when I look at people, I'm like, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Do you know Jesus or don't you? Because he knows you and he wants you to know him and he loves you. And so I've been driven by that. So there is that, which is a driving core for every believer who knows Jesus, knows that they were saved from hell to heaven. For the purposes of knowing him and being with him and spending eternity with him.
Awesome.
He doesn't want anyone to be away from him.
Yeah.
1 Peter 3:9. His desire is that all men might know him.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yep.
And so my desire is his desire.
Yep.
And so therefore I live with this sense of mission.
Yep.
So whenever I'm out, it's never my agenda, it's his agenda.
Yeah. So good.
And so I have to learn to listen to his will, his voice over my own wants, my own will, my own desire, or my own needs. And you know, I'm so aware that we live in a chaotic world with lifestyles that are back to back with different things. I get it. Even in our context of ministry, that's what life is like. It's like go to work at 9, come home at 5, 6. Where did the day go? Did I actually stop to take a breath? I get that. But the idea of living on mission is living with a constant awareness of his presence, a constant awareness of his purpose. And asking, how can I be a part of that? And I think the leaning into that is actually just as challenging as a minister it is as a believer.
I totally agree. I mean, we face the same things, like fear. Is it really the Lord? Is it just my something I'm thinking in my mind? Like all of that kind of stuff. It's true.
Well, we just went to Bali on holiday and literally for a whole week I didn't have work.
Yeah.
And so the voice of God, like go speak to this person, go speak to that person, that. I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to live like this. Yeah. Like I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, because you become more in tune, aware.
Yeah, the more you do it, the more, it's true. The more you do it, the more like, it's a cultivation. So the more you do it, the more you seem to be like, oh, there it is again. Oh, there it is again. Mm-hmm. And God entrusts you with the more.
Yep.
Things that I've seen, practical things for all of us that I've seen you do probably very naturally, but for a non-specifically evangelistically gifted person was not so obvious. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. I love that. So you do things like, I know when like driving in the car to something, you're like, okay, God, like you're going to do something that's a task or a job or something. And you're like, I hear you say in the car, like, okay, God, like if there's anyone that you want to draw my attention to today, I am becoming aware of your presence. And help Holy Spirit, help me become aware when you rest on someone or when you're in this in a specific conversation.
Yep.
So you ask the help of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere you are and whatever you're doing, often before you do it, whether it's like go to Bunnings to pick something up or whether it's, you know, to go to a friend's house, you're like, okay, God, like we're following you. Like you're front and center and wherever you are, we want to be aware of you.
Yep.
So I think even practical things like that for people is super helpful.
Yeah. I think one of the practical things that goes with that is remembering that you're not the person to sign the deal.
Yep.
You're not the person to get them to close the deal.
Yes.
You are simply there to love and share whatever the Lord leads you to share.
Yes.
And it's not about trying to close the deal, get them to make a decision. It's like, what is my role here, Holy Spirit? Where are you already at work in someone's life? How can I partner with what you're doing?
Exactly. And that question I think is a really good one too, because when you were talking about that initially, I thought, okay, so every person I'm having a conversation with today, no matter who they are or where they are, I'm going to ask like, Jesus, who do you say they are?
Yep.
And where are you at work in their life?
Yep. And what do you want to say to them?
Yeah. And exactly. And what do you want to say to them? So that, as I was having conversations with people, whether it was like at the cafe or even like believers and non-believers, all the same, God started to talk to me about the people that he loves, about his sons and daughters. And like, oh, hey, mine, I actually call them this.
Yeah.
And like, they'd be like super, be offering me something and be like super kind. And I'm like, oh, that's actually the manifestation of the kindness of God, because there's only two kingdoms, right?
Yeah.
There's good and evil. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. So the kindness that's manifest here is a manifestation of God, of his character, of his nature, of who he is. So even if I'm experiencing kindness through someone who is not a believer, like it's still the kindness of God in our world.
Yeah.
So even just saying to them like, hey, like, thank you so much. You are such a kind person. Like, I love the way that God has made you in your kindness, and that it's such a reflection of who he is. Like, even if they don't know him. So the more I sort of started asking those questions about, okay, God, the people that I'm encountering today, like as I'm having the conversation, my mind has turned towards the Lord. My heart has turned towards the Lord. As he was speaking to me about his people, evangelism became so easy because you're not you're not trying to like, oh, let me give me a word of knowledge. You're just asking God about the people that he loves. And he loves to talk about the people that he loves.
Yeah. He knows them.
Yeah.
Intimately knows them.
So even if they don't know him. It wasn't like a huge moment of like, oh, I felt like a portal opened up. I mean, sometimes I'm talking to someone who's like, well, the presence of God just arrived. Like I don't know what's going to happen here, but something's going to happen.
Mm.
But other times it's just this softness of recognizing God in you.
Yep.
God at work in this person's life who doesn't even know him yet. And the beauty of that, and acknowledging the beauty of that with God, and then, being like, okay, you're talking to me about who they are. You're already at work in their life. That's a recognition of the presence of God.
Already, and if you honor God, you'll affirm his value in others.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you honor God, you'll look for him in others.
Yeah.
And you'll affirm it, and you'll see it, and you'll call it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the beauty. I've got friends that I've been witnessing to for 8 years. They know more about the Bible, more about the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, and all those things. They know those things, but they've just not yet crossed the decision line.
Yeah. Which, as you were saying, is not your responsibility.
That's right.
The Bible says I have the shared Holy the Spirit.
Gospel. Yep. The Holy Spirit convicts.
Yep.
You are not there to close the deal. You are not there to try and convince them.
No.
Or convict them.
No.
That's the Holy Spirit's role.
Yeah.
We're just simply there to partner with what the Holy Spirit is already doing.
So good. Well, I'm going to get you to pray for all of us who are listening today, and I guess just to be more aware of the presence of God within the component of carrying the manifest presence of God to those who do not know him and being aware of the presence of God already at work in their lives.
Yep.
Is there anything else that's on your heart that you want to share before we pray?
I just encourage anyone who is listening, you don't have to be an evangelist.
Yes, I'm just have to love Jesus. Yes, yes.
Just have to love Jesus, and what you love is what you share. And what you share, people can either choose to reject or accept.
Yeah.
They're not accepting or rejecting you. Mm. They're accepting and rejecting him.
Yeah.
And you can be okay with that.
Yeah.
And so just step out.
Yeah.
Ask him to open your eyes. Ask him to open your ears.
Yeah.
As you go out in your everyday. And you watch and be amazed at how God uses you just to bring an awareness of who he is in someone's life.
Mm.
Just one step closer to Jesus. That's all. That's it.
And then how much more aware of the presence of God you are in your city, in your workplace, in all the places we go.
Oh, he's at work, baby.
Awesome. Let's pray.
So God, I just thank you for the privilege that it is to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. I thank you, Jesus, that you reached into our lives and you saved us.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord, that's your desire for every single person on the face of the earth. And Lord, you brought us into this world at such a time as this, in this place, at this time, in the sphere of influence that you have placed us, in the workplaces, the community, the universities, the schools, the homes that you have placed us in, to be a bearer of light and a bearer of your love. Yes, and God, I thank you, Jesus, for every person today that is listening to this, as they become more consciously aware of your presence, that they would lean into what you are already doing in someone else's life. I pray, Holy Spirit, as they honor you, as they look to what you're already doing, that God, they would affirm that in people's lives by calling it out, speaking to it, sharing with somebody, praying for somebody. Yeah. And that God, as they do, they would see people respond to the love of God.
Yeah.
Whether that's one step of from no awareness to some awareness, or whether that is, I want to accept Jesus.
Mm.
And I pray, Lord God, for every person who has the privilege to bring someone to faith in Christ through a moment of prayer and reflection with what God is doing in their life. I ask, Holy Spirit, that it would become something that they have a greater appetite for in the days that are ahead. And Lord, as we seek your face in this time, as we seek your heart in this time, as we consecrate ourselves, Lord, may we lay down our will and our agenda, and may we seek you in following your voice and hearing your voice and obeying in those moments to share what you ask us to share. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Shree.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to everyone who's been listening today and who's following along. Why not share with a friend who maybe isn't following along at the moment, because we want everyone to receive impartation of different graces and different people's lives as we head along this journey together. So thank you for joining us. And I just want to remind you as well, we have the Prayer and Fasting Toolkit that's available online, which has different prayer practices for each day to help us cultivate an awareness of his presence. And we have a prayer practice that is specific for evangelism and specific for becoming aware of the presence of God in other people's lives as we go about our daily lives. So that's available in the show notes, on Instagram, Church Center app, the website, all the places, all the things. And we also want to hear your testimony. We want to hear the testimony of what God is doing in our lives, in our families, in our communities, maybe in your building while you're walking your dogs, as we've said. So you can do that by DMing us on Instagram, or also by going to our website, which is newmark.church/pray. Okay, guys, thank you so much. So have a great day 7. We'll see you tomorrow for day 8. Bye.